member of parliament for a delegate.
I'd like to welcome each of you to our independent meeting this morning. And the purpose of the meeting today is just to look at the budget review of Umalusi. That's the only business on the order paper with the department, but as a committee we have other things to do. So I would like to welcome you, and I think it will just be appropriate that each and everyone introduces themselves before we go into apology. We'll start with the honourable members.
My name is Crosby Morning, member of the committee.
My name is Alfred Bojale, a member of the committee representing the IEB, coming from the kingdom. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Namadu Gelokina, chairperson of the committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everybody. My name is James Kosan, coming from my home, not from the kingdom. Thank you very much.
My name is Walmart James. I'm a member of this committee and I'm going to the kingdom.
Good morning. My name is Donald Smiles. I'm a member of the committee and I'm from the Democratic Alliance.
This part, you may
Good morning, I'm Pam from PMG.
Good morning, Llewellyn Brown, Committee Secretary, Basic Education.
What you find there?
Good morning, everyone. I'm Yvonne Mahada, researcher for the committee. Thank you.
Morning, I'm Dennis Bandy, content advisor for the committee.
Good morning, I'm Kelly Mugabe, in the head of Basic Education. Good morning, Mr. Samuel Lepo, acting CFO, DBE.
Good morning, Betty Bediachi, DBE.
Rufus Collier, acting Chief Director for Exams, Department of Basic Education.
Amy
Robbins, CRO. Mafura Kometi.
Good morning, I'm Jeremy Thomas, Chief Financial Officer of Mugabe.
Thanks a lot for that. I noticed with the last meeting members questioned, the women within Umalusi, because you only see men normally. But I see today we have more than 50% women present, and I congratulate the department for that. Our assistant, we have an assistant here, madam.
Morning, members and guests. My name is Bongile Kosana, assistant committee.
Thank you for that. And I won't be going to the kingdom, I'm going to Limpopo. So I appreciate that one. I beg your pardon?
I thought it was the same thing, madam.
No, you are going to the kingdom. There's a difference. Same thing, but there's some difference. Thank you.
Apologies from members of the committee came from Honourable Hanyako, Honourable Wilson, and Honourable Vukuza Linda. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Gina.
Chairperson. I'm sorry that I came late. I needed to have handed the apologies that came to my office. Mm-hmm. It was an apology from Comrade Mashishi and also from Honourable Mashishi and also from Honourable Makubela. Yes.
Thank you. From the department, before I read what I got in front of me from the department.
Thank you, Chair. We'd just like to apologize for the Director General, and we are standing in for
Thanks a lot from that. We received a letter from the department. The Director General won't be present today, but delegated In his place are the senior officials to represent the department, and he got down Mr. Pagliacci, and then Pagliacci, and then we have two extra people from the department. Are you also senior officials? Uma Lucy, we had you last week, and today we are going to speak to your budget vote. Have members got the quality, have members got the strategic plans, business plans for this, of the department, not of the department, Uma Lucy. And then the other is the PowerPoint presentation. I think what we're going to do, we're going to listen to you. And then after we listen, we are going to ask questions. Actually, not ask questions, but interrogate your report. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. One of the members of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education. I'm going to be sharing the presentation with the two colleagues, the Chief Operating Officer, Major Jimmy Rabe, and Mr. Jeremy Thomas, who is our CFO. The presentation is going to be focusing on the following areas. We're going to be looking at the analysis mandate.
I don't know whether it's that speaker, if the CEO can maybe change the CSO.
I'll try this one change to the commission. Is this better? Thank you. The presentation is going to be focusing on the following areas. Uma Lucy's mandate doesn't work. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm still checking whether it is working. I'm not sure. I was just saying the presentation is going to be focusing on the following areas. Uma Lucy's mandate, which I'm going to do. Uma Lucy's vision, mission, goals, and key results areas. I will be doing that as well. 2010, 2011 revenue and expenditure, that is the current, and that will be done by the Chief Financial Officer. 2011, 2012 budget focus, and 3-year budget focus, that as well will be done by the Chief Financial Officer, and I will do the conclusion. On Uma Lucy's mandate, Chair, we are a new quality council, and we have been mandated to develop and manage a sub-framework of qualifications for general and further education and training framework. General and further education and training framework extends up to grade 12 of the schooling system and also covers the FET colleges. That is the area of work that we cover. Further, the Uma Lucy's mandate is to develop and quality assure qualifications and curriculum. All qualifications that are on the framework of Uma Lucy have to be quality assured by us together with its curriculum. We also have to quality assure assessment at exit points, so that we don't focus on assessment in the grades that are internal, we only focus on those that are external. We ultimately, after quality assuring all the processes, certify learner achievement. We issue certificates for learner achievement. We also quality assure provision and accredit private providers of education and training and assessment. That will be the private ABET centers, private FET colleges, private schools, together with private assessment bodies. We also conduct research related to the SAR framework, and we give advice to the minister. And that is about our mandate. With regards to the vision and mission of Uma Lucy, I need to indicate that Uma Lucy is a cornerstone on which the country's educational aspirations and standards are anchored and built. And as such, the council and staff are committed to ongoing improvement in standards and quality in general and further education and training. Now, in order to issue learners with credible certificates, Uma Lucy, through its leadership and expert knowledge, develops and secures standards through quality assuring qualifications and curricula. All qualifications, like I've said, that appear on our framework have to be quality assured together with their curriculum. We confirm that assessment is fair, valid and reliable, like we do at the end of each year with the different examinations that we quality assure. We quality assure the provision of education and training and the assessment providers, and its work, the UMALUS's work, is grounded in research in order to ensure informed positions and approaches. Our goals are to promote quality and international comparability of standards for the GFET. And we also maintain and improve educational standards through development and evaluation of qualifications and curriculum, quality assurance of assessment, accreditation of education providers, and training and assessment. We, as one of our goals, continuously develop in-depth knowledge and expertise in mandated areas through rigorous research. UMALUS has a dedicated research unit that conducts research on our framework. And we report on the quality of education and training in the GFET within the mandate of UMALUS. We issue appropriate and credible certificates of learner achievement in terms of specific qualifications on the framework that we quality assure. And we provide reliable and credible leadership and guidance in standard setting and quality assurance. One other area that we have to focus on is that we have to ensure financial efficiency and sustainability of the organization, which is very critical for the sustenance of the organization. And we have to determine the expectations and appropriate response to these within the parameters of UMALUS's mandate. Now, just to quickly indicate the key result areas of UMALUS. The first one is quality assurance of assessment. We have to improve and maintain the system for quality assurance of assessment. And that is the work that we do with the quality assurance of all the examinations that are written from A to Z. I mean, from the moderation of question papers, monitoring of the writing of papers, the moderation, monitoring of marking. And we also have to look at the establishment and implementation of evaluation and accreditation of providers. All the providers that are on our system have to be evaluated and accredited. Those will be the private providers of education in ABET, in FET College and in schools, together with the assessment bodies. We also have to establish and maintain a system to certify and quality assure qualifications and curriculum. Certifying, that is issuing credible certificates and quality assuring those qualifications and curriculum to ensure that they are of the required standard. We do research, like I've already said, diagnose and report on quality in general and further education and training, supported by statistical analysis, so that we check the health of the system that we control in terms of our framework. One other area that is critical in terms of our corporate services is the development and maintenance of management support structures and governance. We have to ensure that the governance structures of the organization are functioning well, and also the other management support structures. We have to ensure that our IT system, information technology systems, are established, maintained, and improved so that they are in line with what is happening with all the organizations that we interact with. And we also have to ensure that finance, human resource, and administrative support are maintained and improved so that we have good financial systems, a good human resource system, and good administrative support systems. That is, those are the key result areas that UMALUS is focusing on. Okay, I'm going to pause with your permission and request the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Jeremy Thomas, to proceed with the presentation.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. I will commence with looking at an executive summary of finances as at the 28th of February, that means last month, and we look at the financial performance of the organization, which is previously called the income and expenditure statement. We ended the period with a net surplus of 4.5 million rand, of which 110% of our budgeted revenue has been realized from operations, which means that the debt that the organization had, we collected 110% for the debt incurred during that particular period. We also received 100% of the grant from the Department of Basic Education, and we really want to thank the department for honoring the payments on time and timeously. 76% of the budget expenses were incurred to date, and I will speak to that a little bit later. As far as the summary of the financial position of the organization, the cash flow, debtors and investments are concerned, the total assets of the organization is 47.3 million. As you know, that's made up of our fixed assets along with the investments and the surplus to debt. 93% of invoice debts were collected for the period, and the cash available at the end of the period was 688,000 rand. Our investments stand at 26 million rand, attracting an interest of 5.5% from the Corporation for Public Deposits with the Reserve Bank. We do have a note indicating that management has agreed to proceed with caution over the next month to ensure that our reserves are sufficient to cover the shortfall which we forecast for the 2011-12 financial year. We then show a comparative graph of expenditure to date, comparing it with the three-year average, and you will notice a significant increase in the expenses with regards to, or the spend on quality assurance of assessment. And more than a year ago, we've motivated for an increase in spend on in that particular area, where we increased our sample sizes with regards to moderation of papers, monitoring of exams, and so forth. And a slight increase in the spend on information technology. That is particularly due to the fact that we have more staff, so we needed to buy more computer hardware, but we also specifically looked at our disaster recovery mechanisms and have installed high availability servers. The personnel expenditure, that increased over this past financial year due to the increase in the numbers of staff, which was not significant, but I think the graph shows it as such. If we now look at the actual revenue that was budgeted for versus the actual expenditure for the financial year 2010 to 11 up to the end of February, you will note that our revenue streams are accreditation fees, certification fees, our grant from the Department of Basic Education, interest, reserve funds, verifications, and other, and I'll speak to the other as well. In terms of accreditation fees, we've collected 56% of the budgeted revenue. And one of the main reasons is the fact that UMUSI doesn't have a stick with which to work institutions to be accredited. Nothing technically forces them to be accredited. So as such, we collect accreditation fees as they apply to UMALUSI. In terms of certification fees, you will notice that we collected 131% of the budgeted revenue due to the increase in the fees that were levied during the year in June, and of course the supplementary examination certification fees which came through during this period of time. The departmental grant, we received 100% of the grant, and we're thankful for that. Due to the fact that we did not use our surpluses during the financial year, we were able to attract more interest than what was originally envisaged. And due to the requiring the addition, not utilizing the reserve funds that we had reserved, we haven't touched that at all. All indications are that we will probably only require at least around between 4 to 6 million of that by the end of the financial year. In terms of verification fees, we've collected 76% of what was budgeted, and I think that is just a reflection of employment trends countrywide, where employers are not employing, and as such they are not asking Umalusi to verify the certificates of the people whom they employ. In terms of other, Umalusi has collected revenue with regards to the ETDP CETA refund. We launched, we had a provider conference where we levied certain fees. Our staff pay for their private calls that are made, so we collect that, as well as the ERCO quality assurance fees that we levy. So to date then, we have collected 83% of the budget for 2010 and 11. In terms of expenditure against the budget, our national operations have spent 65% of the budget to date, and we expect that there will be between a 5 to 7% underspending due to the nature of research work that we do and the qualifications projects that we are engaged in. Also bearing in mind that most of the moderation and monitoring of work took place over the December-January period, November-December-January period, and that is currently being paid. In terms of corporate services, we've spent 84% of the budget, and we expect that that budget will be fully expended by the end of March. We therefore show a net surplus, as indicated, at the end of February, of 4.5 million rand. We now look at the statement of financial position, or previously known as the balance sheet. As at end of February, our assets total 13.8 million. Our investments at CPD, 26.3 million. Our current assets, 7.1 million. And we balance that off against our capital reserves of 43.4 million and our current liabilities of 3.9 million. I will now look at the budget forecast for the new financial year. Per the programs or the key result areas, you will see the outcomes against the current budget and the forecasted budget for 2011 and 12 with a short motivation. Quality assurance of assessment, as we know, the outcomes are with regards to moderation, standardization, and monitoring of exams. The current budget is 16.2 million for this financial year. And we forecast a 13% increase due to the increase in moderator costs as per the ministerial approval, and also the slight increase in our sample sizes, because we've agreed to programmatically increase sample sizes from year to year. As far as the evaluation and accreditation of providers are concerned, the current budget is 3.7 million, and we forecast a 19% increase due to the increase in the number of institutional site visits that we have to perform, up to 4.5 million rand for 2011. For the program qualifications, curriculum and certification, where we are looking at the development of the qualification sub-framework, amongst others, and the evaluation of curricula, they currently have a budget of 4 million, and the forecast for 2011 is a decrease of 4%. Due to the need to capacitate that unit before the rollout of qualifications and curriculum work can be increased. And this will be done in the 2011-12 financial year, and we're looking at the additional human resource capacity that is needed to fulfill this part of our mandate. The research unit within Umalusi, the Statistical Information and Research Unit, had a budget of 2.6 million for this financial year, and we forecast a 16% increase budgeted to give effect to the formal mandate of research as a quality council, and which now also includes the extension of the research work in respect of standard setting and qualifications development. The management support structures is that component of the organization that manages the overall planning, implementation, review, and governance, where all the committees reside, as well as the office of the chief executive officer. And the budget for this financial year was 2.9 million, and we forecast about 2.8 million, as there's a decrease in the budget of about 2%, and that's mainly due to the fact that we don't have to pay allowances, as most of our members are office bearers. More capacity is needed in PR, so we're looking at rather focusing on the HR requirements that fall under this unit mandate. The corporate services budget for information technology systems, for certification, adequate hardware, software, maintenance and support, has a current budget of 4.7 million and a forecast a budget of 5.1 million, a mere 9% increase, due to the increase in computer costs for replacement of hardware. There was no increase in the theta cost over the past two financial years. This is somewhat of a concern for us, because we don't know when government departments or organs of state are going to be slapped with an increase. So it's very, very difficult for us at this point in time to adequately budget for that. The corporate services budget, in terms of finance, for the supply chain management systems, building and security maintenance for this financial year was 4.2 million, and we forecast an increase of 8% for buildings, which are more maintenance orientated, and for supply chain costs and purchases like stationery, printing, paper, and the like. The human resource management and development budget then for Umalusi is forecasted for the next financial year is a 21% increase, which I think is the highest increase overall due to the additional posts that will be required as per the HR business review that has been undertaken by Umalusi, and an approximate forecast of around 5% for inflationary increases for the financial year. Our current budget then 68.8 million, and we've submitted a request for 78.8 million, which is an overall 15% increase in the budget as the minimum budget required for Umalusi. The next table is a table which shows the income budget compared to the departmental grant that Umalusi receives. And I think it's always good just to look historically and see where we come from. You'll notice when Umalusi started in the year 2001, it did not obtain or receive a grant, and only in 2002 received a grant of 1.5 million, and which was about 11% of the budget at that point in time. And in 2004, we received a wonderful grant of 55%, and unfortunately, that grant has gone steadily down from 55 to 27 to 35. So you find that in the 2011 financial year, the grant that has been set aside, or the baseline allocation that has been set aside for Umalusi, is 23% of its budget. And we certainly would like to see an increase in that ratio. When we look at our three-year budget forecast then, Umanusi's current budget is 68.8 million and we're asking for a budget of 78.8 million, which is a 15% increase. And going forward, beyond 2011, we're looking at an increase of 16% the year thereafter and around about 11% in 2013-2014. Umanusi submitted his budget as required in terms of the PFMA during September last year, and a response was received from the ministry in January 2011, and with a request that we should submit a revised budget, and that was done on the 18th of January. And the ministry, we are still awaiting approval from the ministry of the budget of 78.8 million. I will, Chairperson, if I could hand over to Dr. Afumetsi to discuss the challenges and the way forward. Thank you.
With your permission, Chairperson, thank you very much. Umalusi is facing a few challenges. The first one being challenges around its financial sustainability through increased funding. You'll notice that our initial budget for the 2011-2012 financial year was 82 million. And this was revised and reduced to 78.8 million. And we still have to get approval from the minister on the 78.8 million that we have budgeted for at a reduced amount. And also we're looking at increasing the certification fee with 5 to 20% in order for the organization to be sustainable. You'll notice in the table that Mr. Thomas indicated, indicating the history of the allocation that we get from the department, that the baseline was never correct from the onset. It was the question of the department giving Umalusi the leftovers at the end of the financial year, in the first year of that allocation. And the baseline was never correct from that point onwards. And if you look at the percentage of the grant as well, you'll observe fluctuations in terms of the percentage grant that we get from the department. In that way, we don't see the organization being financially sustainable if it cannot get adequate funding. We are also appealing for a move from the certification fee to a quality assurance levy, where all learners who write examinations have to be paid for by the department. The reason why we are saying this is because all learners who write examinations have the processes quality assured by Umalusi. But with the certification fee, only those that pass pay for certificate. And those that fail, the department do not pay for anything. So we are appealing for the QA levy, where all learners who sit for the examinations that have been quality assured by Umalusi will have to be paid for. I've already spoken about the increased baseline allocation of the grant. I'm not going to belabor the point. I also need to indicate the Umalusi's mandate contestation. In 2008, the National Qualification Framework was approved and ratified and promulgated into an act. And the National Qualification Framework created a new quality assurance body, the Quality Council for Trades and Occupations, QCTO. Now, there seems to be some contestation in terms of area and space and mandate between the QCTO and Umalusi, with the QCTO claiming the FET college space, with the end programs that we've been quality assuring all along, with the national curriculum, national certificate vocational that we've been quality assuring all along, and all other new qualifications that we want to introduce that are targeting young adults who are not in education or in any form of training. So that is the area of contestation between the QCTO and Umalusi at the moment. There seems to be no clear line of demarcation, and there seems to be no clear reason as well as to why the QCTO was created. There are those areas of contestation. Also, the last bullet, Chair, is about the reputational risk of Umalusi, which I want to believe we have been able to manage. January and February were a bit rough for the organization in terms of the media report that we got around the non-disclosure of the standardization decision, which were debated adequately in two sessions between Umalusi and this honorable committee. We have since decided through the Umalusi Council to release the standardization decisions before the minister releases the results. At the point when we'll be approving the results for release by the department, we will also be releasing the standardization decisions. So that by the time the minister announces the results and announces the result, the release of the results, Umalusi have announced what standardization it has done, and so forth and so on. One thing that became clear in the previous discussion with this honorable committee was that it's not easy for us to say this study has been adjusted upwards because of the different ranges that the assessments take. And in one example that we cited last week with Professor Madizela, there was an instance where at the bottom end of the marks were adjusted upwards. At the top end, the marks were adjusted downwards. So what would you say in such a subject? So for us to, in summary, say the marks have been adjusted upwards in this subject, it's not easy. We have to give that in a detailed form so that we are able to show the scaling and the levels at which the adjustments have been done. My sense, Chair, is that with the media briefing of the 23rd of February 2011 and the subsequent engagement with the media, we've been able to manage this reputational risk of the organization. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to pause.
Thanks a lot for that. Questions from the committee, please, committee members. I'll start with the Honourable James, and I'll take IVP, I'll take Mani, I'll take Mshwana, and then the Wapla. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the presentation. I have two questions. The first question is to ask you to please tell us what the cost of the actual Umalusi board is. This is salaries that are paid and operational costs around board functions. So this is an empirical question. My second question has to do with the budget history and the fact that year on year there is an above inflation increase. If you go back to 2002, so it's 11%, 70%, 55%, 27%, and so on and so forth. You've also invested some of the money. This is taxpayers' money, I presume. Please explain why you would invest money and then request a further grant increase that is above inflation. I don't understand. I mean, the matric number of kids who write matric have been fairly constant in the course of time. There's obviously an increase in cost year to year that's due to inflation. So these are significant sums of money. And the fact is that you have seen increases in the ranges of 25%. So I don't understand how that happens. On what basis would you request more taxpayers' money when you're sitting on the reserves? Question number one. And question number two is, why are these increases so way above inflation on a year-to-year basis? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. First, I must acknowledge my weakness in reading figures when it comes to all these budgetary figures. I'm more or less lost, you know. I'll concentrate on challenges, because that sort of reflects what... But before I go there, one of your mandates, you is to advise the minister. I know in the past, the former yes, had always a problem for the lack of the correct word. It was this tension between Umalusi and the minister when it came to advising, where the minister could not at times take your advice. Perhaps it would be helpful to know briefly on what issues have you advised the minister and what the outcomes of those interactions have been. That's first one. The second one, you said when it comes under challenges that you had budgeted initially, what was it, 82 million? Then it was reduced to something like 32. Am I correct?
82 to 78.8.
And you were not satisfied with that, and were reasons given for that reduction from your initial budget. Yeah, let me stick to those two. I'll have a second bite when the second round comes. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks so much for that, Council Member. You do understand finances. I can hear.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is the surplus and the difference between budget and actuals. Is that the same thing or is there a difference? Surplus, budget and actuals. Is that the same thing or is there a difference?
Thank you, Chairperson. My apologies for my so unreasonable late coming today. I'll explain later. I have two questions, and I hope these questions will not be like exposing my no-no's, like you were saying, I understand budget. There's nothing about budget, but I need to ask questions. The first one is on the increase. There were two past years that there were no increase, and it's even an issue, if I heard it correctly, that there was no increase, and it's an issue for concern. Is there any relationship? I'm checking relationships here. Because my understanding is that if there are structures that are working together, you should sit down and agree. There must be a meeting, a planning meeting. You know that this is due to you. There must be some policy guiding. You don't just decide to give people what you want on this particular day and the next time it doesn't work. Now I'm checking if there is any relationship. And if there is no relationship, can we talk of a method? There must be a plan to rectify things, because you are going to be married for a very long time, I think. And on the second one, what informs the decrease in your grant? Seemingly, you do not know. I mean, you should know even before you are told that this year, because of this, we are going to get a decrease. But it's like there is this relationship again. It's like it's a master worker, and I don't know how to put it, relationship, so that if the partnership is correct, for sure you would know what's due to you. And yeah, and even the ISP is agreeing with the ANC. Thank you.
Oh, honorable Gina, I as married just again today. You come from the kingdom, thank you.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, the CEO talk of the contestation between Umalusi and QCTO on around the issue of FET colleges. But what I would wish the CEO can explain to us is what is happening right now. What are they doing? Do they do anything on the FETs right now, or they've just left it to the QCTO? What's the position right now? What is happening? Because taking from the last meeting that we had last year, there was that outcry to say that has been an unmandated saying where they are working with the FETs. So I'm also worried when they are reporting saying we have met with the minister, which are they doing anything on the FETs, because we'll expect them to meet with the Minister of Higher Education and Training, so that if ever they do have a mandate or they've left everything to the QCT, or there's nothing that you're doing anymore with the FETs. If so, why are you still doing it? And because you talked of the contestation, but really I'm not clear as to what is the position now, what is happening. And again, Chairperson, on the issue of this qualification QA, the levy versus certification fee, this is not for the first time we talk about this thing with Umami. Even on the presentations from the previous years, last year I can remember that's one of the things that they've raised, and if they're still raising it now, as they've been raising it last year, I see no move. Because what I have expected this year to say, we have presented our case, this is what the department is saying, and here are the challenges. But the way it is presented, it is as if it's still, they're still thinking about it as it was presented to us last year, to say, no, we think that the move from the certification fee to the quality assurance levy can be better. Can they tell us how much have they moved in that? Because last year we had them, what is it that has been done? What are the challenges? Is there any move? If not, what is stopping them from moving? Is the department not taking that up or whatever, but can they please clarify to us what is happening around that issue? And again, looking at the issue of accreditation, the budget, they've budgeted for more, but less institutions have applied for accreditation. And that was also an issue where we looked at is to say there are so many colleges that are not registered, which we call them fly-by-night. And we had an agreement that though they cannot force the colleges to apply, but really we must think of a way as to how do we make them to apply, or we have at least, because really for them to budget for more, it means they do have a number of them, though they cannot have them all, but we know that there are so many colleges. For them to see less number applying for accreditation or for registering, but it shows that we have quite a number of colleges that are a threat to our learners out there that are not registered. They might not come up with an response now as to say what is it that can be done, but I think together here, that's one of the areas that we need to look at, because we cannot allow those colleges to continue like that, offering these courses which are not accredited, thus making our children suffer out there. So that was a cause of concern. I think it is still now. We are still concerned about that even now. Let me stop there for now, Chairperson. I will also take the next round, if you give me.
Fine. Thanks a lot. I'll take Mr. Smile, Honourable Smile, and then I'll ask my questions too. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah. Chairperson, my question is on the budget for personnel, HR. The outcome for Umalusi with regard to HR is with regard to they want to maintain HR practices and they want to improve and develop HR practices. Now looking at the 21% increase, which is 6% more than the average increase of 15%, that's a huge increase. Now I've looked at your strategic plans and I want to see where are you going to spend that money, because there is no significant or groundbreaking news in your HR to say that you sort of deserve this kind of increase. I hope I've put my case in a proper way. So you need to explain why this big increase was, there is no evidence that you will do a lot of work with it. Then secondly, with regard to your contestations and your challenges, I am not in a position to fully answer, as from the committee, what you have not complained, but you have noted that QCTO and Umalusi are not clearly demarcated. And the other question is, why was it established? whilst you are doing the work, obviously. Well, I can understand that maybe from an income point of view, you will be jealous about your income. But there should be a higher sort of stake to look at, is to look at standardization, looking at quality, and not put the quality at risk. So, I think my response, and I've attended a meeting on higher education where this QCTO was presented, and my feeling is that maybe this committee cannot respond to that question. Maybe cabinet can, and maybe I would say it's a political thing. That's all that I can say, because from my side, in a personal capacity, I wouldn't like to see another quality assurance body whilst we have one. And we are struggling to get that, we're struggling to get your reputation and whatever in place so that you are credible and people accept you perfectly. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Honorable Smile. I think the department is present. So they need to answer questions too. Because I would like to know, when it comes to this revised budget, which was submitted to the ministry for approval, what is the status at the moment? I think that is going to be important. Then when it comes to your baseline, what I'd like to ask Amalusi, is your baseline figures correct? You know, I think it's important that you reassure us that your baseline figures is correct, because if it's not correct, you won't get the budget that you want. Then when it comes to, I think it's on page 7, because I marked my pages. Because most of the questions I want to ask were asked already. When it comes to the amount given, when it comes to the number of samples, were the allocation as given there allow you to quality assurance? You know, on a, when it comes to a higher number of samples, when it comes to the moderation. I've looked everywhere, I've got questions everywhere. And let me look at these questions that I have here. When it comes to RPL, recognition of prior learning, is it part of your mandate? How is it implemented, and is it part of your mandate? Colleges were really asked. Then when it comes to your qualified external moderators, I think it was raised in your annual report. You know, there's a scarcity of these moderators. Can you just speak to us about it? And then the last question, I think it's better coming from me than anyone else. There are concerns when it comes to the National Senior Certificate. Do it really equip the learner to be accepted at universities? Of course, look at they're doing bridging courses at the moment at universities. Because I know quite a number of children that now I know in the family that's doing bridging courses at the moment. And then when it comes to the challenge you're having, when it comes to the CAT assessment, the continuous assessment, what plans do you have in place? Thank you.
I'm looking at the members. There's no other question. I think people will do follow up. Will you please reply? Who's going to start first? Are we going to allow the department to start first? Because look at the department. You are entity of the department. So let the department start first, and then we hand over to Amalusi.
Thank you, Chair. If I can start. Maybe I'll start with the status of the budget. There are two questions that were asked that are related. Maybe the reduction of the 82 to the 78. What happens is, according to the PFMA, you have to budget according to secured funds. If the funds are secured, the minister cannot approve the budget. So the budget, that's why the budget was returned to Umalusi to say they must revise the budget. Now the 78 million is in the process of being approved. It was analyzed and it has been submitted to the minister for approval. And then there was reference to the reduction of the baseline. It was not a reduction of the baseline on the slide. What happened at the time where there was a huge increase, the department had savings in their budget, and there were some additional funding that was required by Umalusi. So Umalusi was given additional funding at the time. That's why it looks like it increased and then decreased again. But that was not the case. What happened is the budget is the transfer to public entities are prescribed. They know every year how much they're going to receive. But if there's a need for additional funding and the department has excess money, a saving somewhere, then the department can give them the money. That's why they had an increase at that time. Thank you, Chair.
Anyone else from the department? Fine. Mr. Panashi. Umalusi can answer, whoever's going to answer this.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and members. I will respond to the first question with regards to the Umalusi board and the operational budget for the board. The budget for our council members for this financial year is a total of 366,000 rand that is budget, made up of the council and the and its committee allowances, its meetings, workshops, travel and accommodation. It's a total budget of 366,000 for the members. The next question with regards to the issue of Umalusi's budget, historically speaking, and I think this ties up with what my colleague from the Department of Basic Education alluded to. You know, Umalusi's mandate and the General and Third Education and Training Quality Assurance Act clearly specifies that Umalusi should take on its work progressively. And that is exactly what Umalusi has done over the years. In the year 2001, you will note that Umalusi was not granted any establishment funding. And so there was a constant cry to the department for additional funding for the establishment of this new council. And as a result, you will note that in 2004/05, the department graciously gave us the excess funds that were available so that we could see to what extent they could assist Umalusi. And unfortunately, that has been the trend since the establishment of Umalusi, because a scientific, calculated baseline allocation was not reserved for Umalusi. Umalusi had to, through the years, make do with what it received. And fortunately, because it had reserves, it always had to manage those reserves efficiently and effectively. To the extent that we now have 26 million reserves, and at the end of February, by the end of March, it would probably be in the region of 22 million. Of that 22 million, we have forecasted that we're going to have to utilize at least 15 million of that for the 2011 budget to make up the difference of the mandated work that Umar Nusi has to do. And so that aspect has always been a difficult one. And I'm sure the honourable members would appreciate that it is very difficult to go into a planned session as a quality assurer without knowing exactly what you're going to receive. Because there have been promises made to Umar Nusi that we will look at your baseline allocation and we will look at increasing it over time. There have been promises made that the quality assurance levy structure and system that you are proposing is a good one and it's possibly doable, but it's not implementable with immediate effect. Now, with those promises, you go into a planning scenario as looking at what Umar Nusi has to do, and we go back to the drawing board and we now have to cut our suit according to the cloth. Which I think is very, very difficult for us as a management to continually contend with. And therefore, honourable members, you will find that the ratio in terms of what we're asking for is always going to be more than what we receive. Of most of the public entities, if you look at our grants, we're receiving the smallest grant. Even if you compare it with the latest established public entity. So it is important that we constantly look at history and constantly look at the work that Umar Nusi is doing and the work that it needs to do. And I may be answering more than one question here, Chairperson, because when it comes to the issues around our revised budget and the work, the significant work that we have to do, the significant work that Umar Nusi has to do is in the area of qualification and standard setting and development. And that is where we need to focus the work of Umar Nusi going forward. But if you look at the budget that we're receiving, we're constantly going to be harping on the matter that we need an increased budget. Umar Nusi therefore has made a request to the ministry for an increase in certification fees for this year to accommodate the monies that are required. As far as the budget actuals are concerned, is it the same thing as the surpluses? No, not necessarily. Honourable Member, the budget merely indicates the budget that was approved originally by the Minister, and the actuals indicate what we have spent up to date or received up to date. The surplus is the difference between the budget and the actual income less the actual expenditure, and that would give us a surplus or a deficit. So there is a slight difference there. I want to touch on the whole issue of relationship. Umar Nusi has constantly been engaging with the department, and I do believe that we have a very healthy relationship. And unfortunately, when it comes to the aspect of funding, you know, they say money separates the best of friends. And there are times that we do have to really motivate and we welcome the question, the line of questioning of the department. I've had the privilege of meeting the National Treasury together with the acting CFO of the Department of Basic Education to explain the thrust of the quality assurance levy, and which they agree, they see sense, and they understand it, because at the end of the day, in terms of Umar Nusi's mandate, Umar Nusi could, via its council, increase certification fees without consultation, but we realize in the greater scheme of things, where as far as relationship is concerned, the provincial education departments are going to go back to the National Treasury to ask for additional funding should we increase certification fees. And therefore, engaging the National Treasury is important because one of the advantages that we proposed of the quality assurance levy would be a top slicing mechanism that would circumvent us having to raise these large debtor accounts with provinces which we have to manage. Right now we have about 3,500 debtors on our books, including FET institutions, provincial education departments, and each and every entity has to get a statement and an invoice on a monthly basis. They have to be phoned, we have to collect the money. And so there is a lot of administration that goes behind us, whereas the QA levy system would then obviate all of this and give a much more breathing space to the system itself. I think with regards to the budget in terms of HR, you will note that we have budgeted a 5% increase for cost of living increases for the 2011 financial year. And we included an amount of approximately 4 million rand for the additional posts that may be required to fulfill the qualifications and standard setting work, together whatever comes out of the business review process, which Umalusi has embarked on. And we hope that will be finalized by the end of this financial year, which will be the end of March. Chair, I think I will end there and ask my colleagues to respond to the academic questions.
Is this working? Okay. I'm actually going to some of the questions that were asked at the end. Because a lot of those are in the area where I work. The first question I'm responding to is the one around the sampling for the quality assurance. And I think the question was whether that would allow Umalusi to quality assure sufficiently. Perhaps just to give you some idea of what the samples were and what they are now. Previously, Umalusi, this is around site-based assessment, continuous assessment. I think it goes to that other question as well. What are the six CAS plans? And it will both of those things. In terms of national senior certificate and CAS, Umalusi previously quality assured once a year and we'd look at a sample of portfolios. And it was actually quite a small sample. It was like a 10% sample nationally. And that was after the event in a sense. It happened at the end of the year and therefore did not inform the standard of CAS in the year in which it was assessed. So it didn't really serve a great purpose. That model has changed. With the doing away of the portfolios in the schools, Umalusi is now looking, focusing specifically on the standard of the CAS task. And we're doing a sampling across provinces 3 times a year. So it's happening the beginning and the middle towards the end. So there is a monitoring of the standard of the CAS throughout the year, which is a much more effective way to go about it. Now to give you an idea of that, previously we did CAS on 10 subjects once a year. Now we're doing CAS on 19 subjects 3 times a year across provinces. So it's quite a bigger sample, quite substantially bigger, and it's a different approach as well. It's more comprehensive. Of course, there's a whole lot more that could be done, but it does come down to finances and aid. In terms of verification of marking, that means actually checking on the standard of the marking, moderation of marking, if you like. Previously in the NSC, we moderated the 10 gateway subjects, the marking of that. We've increased that sample now to 25 subjects of the NSC. So that is marking a sample of papers to make sure that we mark the right standards. And then in terms of monitoring the actual conduct of the examination, we've increased that by 25%. So where we were doing a certain number of sites, we're now doing 25% more. Actually, our monitoring of the conduct of the examinations has always been quite small because it's kind of multi-layered. You find that provincial departments monitor, the national department monitors, and then Umalusi does a sort of a verification step at the top. So when we say monitoring, we're not doing a comprehensive monitoring of the entire system. It is, again, a sampling. And then we've undertaken an extra step in the quality assurance, which is called post-exam analysis. What we do is we actually analyze how learners have answered questions in the 10 gateway subjects after the examination. And we look at the standard of those questions and use that to confirm the standardization decisions that were made, so that we kind of have a confirmation that the decisions made in standardization were in fact correct. So that exercise has now come into place as well. So there's quite a few extra things that we're doing, and that of course has an impact on the budget. In terms of RPL, yes, RPL is part of our mandate, and we have a draft policy that we've developed at the moment, but it has to be finalized along with SACPA and the QCTO and the Council on Higher Education. So that's the sort of a process being taken forward by SACPA, and we obviously part of that. However, you know, Umalusi has an examinations approach, so our assessment is a central examination. Whether that be a vocational subject or course, or whether it be an academic one, where they still write examinations. And so in a sense, and just to sort of cut the whole thing short, is to say, Malusi's always had the approach of, if you want the qualification, write the exam. So to that extent, we are in the process of developing an NSC for adults, which I'm not sure whether we've raised that here before. We might have. It is an alternative matric for adults. And it's for those out-of-school people who want a matric. And the idea is ultimately for it to be on demand, so that it becomes almost like an RPL. It's kind of sit down and write the exam. It allows access to anybody who wishes to, but it has self-tests, which would indicate whether someone was ready to write that exam. And the idea is to obviously build a system that would support that. But I'm not going to go into that in great depth now, but that we see as, you know, approaching our kind of RPL arm, if you like. And then in terms of external moderators and their scarcity, that is a huge problem. It's quite hard to find quality external moderators, and sometimes they've let us down quite badly. I mean, you know, I just have to say that. That does happen. Obviously, from time, we renew contracts, and when something like that happens, we just don't renew the contract to such a person. But Malusi is looking at training, let me put it this way, building capacity in that area. We're putting together training courses for, we always have trained external moderators, but to step that up. In other words, not just to train what we want now, but also to train for the future. So there is a plan around that. It's not really concrete at this stage, and obviously we will run it by our EXCO and our council before we embark on it, but clearly there needs to be some kind of capacity building in this area, or we're just going to remain a problem. Okay, CAS plans I've answered. And then concerns around, does the NSC equip learners to go on to university? Well, that's an everlasting question in a way, because, you know, you have to discuss what the purpose is of matric. Is the purpose of the matric certificate to say, this is what a learner can do at the end of 12 years of schooling, or is the purpose to access into university, or is it both? And what is the predictive value of the matric? We're actually doing a study. Our research section is taking up a study with Higher Education South Africa around the predictive value of the matric. What does the matric examination tell us about future performance of learners? There has been some work done around it at a couple of the universities, and we're linking with them, and it does seem as if the matric actually predicts quite well how learners will perform. In fact, I won't go into that because it gets quite contentious, but I think it's an ongoing question and perhaps should stay on the agenda and we can keep talking about it.
If you would allow me to conclude the responses. The question that was raised by the Honourable James on why would we sit on reserves and still expect money from the fiscus, that has always been my contention, even as a member of Umalusi Council before I joined Umalusi as the CEO. My approach was that of government, because I used to be head of education in the Free State. And immediately on arrival at Umalusi, I engaged former DG, Duncan Winslow, on this matter, to say, as we're debating the allocation for the first year that I was at Umalusi from the department, I said, why don't you just allow us to use all the reserves and start from scratch and just get our allocation from one year to the other? And the advice that I got from the then DG, Duncan Winslow, was that it will not be wise to do that, because there may be some emergencies that may arise that may call for huge cash injections that Umalusi may not have at that time. That is when we resort to the use of the reserves. those emergencies may be in the form of investigations that we have to conduct that were unexpected and that are not budgeted for. It may be through litigation. We nearly faced litigation at the beginning of this year with the disclosure and non-disclosure of the standardization decision. That money would be used for such emergencies and court proceedings where the need arises. It may come as a result of building emergencies, and also that the fact that we've got reserves is any Umaru's term interest that can be used for operations. So that is the advice that I got from the DG to say the department will not always be able to come and bail you out when you face emergencies as a public entity. And that advice I bought into it ultimately as a CEO of Umaru's, but initially as a board member, as a council member, I didn't buy into that. In terms of the advice that you give to the minister and the tensions that arise out of that advice, I want to say the advice that you have given to the two ministers to date has been well received. And I'm going to cite the examples of the advices that you have given to the two ministers. First of all, we did an investigation on the implementation of the MCV in the FEQ College. What were the constraints? What were the challenges? And we got a very positive feedback where the former DG of the Department of Higher Education and Training was able to come up with an implementation plan for all the provinces, saying these are the areas of weakness that Umaru has pointed out. You better correct these areas, and we are monitoring that process. We're looking at the foundation phase. We have a research project on the foundation phase, which we have submitted to the minister, and the minister is implementing that in terms of the weaknesses that we have identified. When we compare the curriculum of South Africa in relation to the curriculum of other countries, I'll not remember the countries of the CAF now, where we said our foundation phase is failing the following weaknesses. We also did the comparison of the Cambridge International Examinations, International Baccalaureate, and the National Senior Secondary Certificate in Namibia. That advice has been given to the minister. But further on, I need to indicate with the current CAP process, Umaru is busy giving the department advice on the CAP process. Whenever any examination has been completed, we give advice in the form of a full report to the minister to say these are the areas of concern in terms of how the examinations have been run. I'll cite one example that comes to mind. We worried last year about the number of marking centers that were established in KZN. That 13 marking centers were way too much. And in our report, we are pointing such things. We point into the weaknesses of the different assessment bodies, provinces, and we are saying Free State, KZN, and I think it's Limpopo. Those three, their examination systems are in the ICU. They need attention. So those are the things that we point out. Those reports are available at Umaru, and they can be available for the honourable members. We also advise the minister on issues like language compensation, to say language compensation was not meant to be part of the system forever. It was supposed to be a temporary intervention that would go once the language proficiency of the learners has been improved. We've been engaging the minister on that. Maybe just one last example would be that we even advised the ministers on our qualification framework. We have now recently submitted through the Chairperson of Council two qualifications to the Minister of Higher Education and Training. We have submitted two qualifications that the COO referred to, NASCA, National Senior Certificate for Adults, and we have also submitted the NIC, National Independent Certificate. So we are continuously advising the Minister. Maybe just to add on what Mr. Thomas has said in relation to the relationship that we have with the Department, I need to indicate that the relationship is sound. And the issue of the budget was also discussed between the Minister and the chairperson of Umaru's Council in my presence last year, towards the end of last year, around November, where the chairperson of Umaru's Council raised the issue of the sustainability of the organization in relation to the allocation that we are receiving. And the minister promised to do something about it. Maybe just to come briefly to the tensions that exist between the KCTO and Umaru. According to the founding act of Umaru, the General and Further Education and Training Act, Umaru has to quality assure education that is offered according to SASA, South African Schools Act, FET Act, and ABET Act. So we are covering that scope as per our mandate. The end courses are in the FET College, the theory part of it. The MCV is in the FET quality, and we've been quality assuring those qualifications for as long as they've been there, as you might see. Now, the KCTO with the N courses is saying to us, they have to take the N courses over to them, and then they will give them back to Madhu. That doesn't make sense to me. They want to take something over and delegate it back to Madhu for what? And I'm saying, looking at the current capacity of the KCTO, they don't have the capacity even to run the N courses, the capacity that we have, and the track record that we have. The KCTO does not have a permanent CEO, it has an acting CEO. It does not have a permanent staff member, it has just skeletal staff members. Now, how do you want to take a qualification from a framework only to delegate it back? For what? That is the question that we are asking. We are busy engaging now between the KCTO, ourselves, Esumalusi, SAKWA, the Department of Higher Education and Training. We are still debating these issues with them, and we don't know what the outcome is going to be. I think that captures the essence of the areas of contestation. And my sense is, as I listen to the debate is not going to end there. We're going to go into our other qualifications. Because even as we're presenting to our council, the NASCA and the NIC, in our council meeting of February, where the acting CEO of KCTO said, she was opposing those qualifications that we have developed, saying, no, they can't be on your framework. But we have done all the work, we've got all the capacity. They don't have the capacity. They are not fully established. They are not running. They are not running any qualifications as we talk. Now, my question still remains, why were they established? Chairperson, just to add on also another point on the QA levy, that over and above Mr. Thomas meeting with the treasury colleagues, with the colleagues from the DPE, this matter has been tabled at HEDCOP, Committee of Heads of Education. This question of the QA levy has been tabled there. And maybe just briefly a response to the question raised by Honorable Smiles on why the increase in our personnel budget. I need to indicate that our mandate has expanded with the revision of our Founding Act in 2008, where we used to just have SAKWA do the qualifications for us and approve the qualifications. Now we are doing some of setting ourselves, and that will call for units such as the qualifications, curriculum and certification, QCC, to expand, because now the functions that used to be at SAKWA are now at Madhu. And also with the increase of the sample size that we want to have with the quality assurance of assessment, we may have to increase the staff size there. So it is as a result of the demands of our mandate. Okay, I want to venture into an area that Eugenie touched on briefly, on whether the NSC really equips learners to go to university. Now the question that I want to raise is, what is the purpose of the NSC? Is it only to prepare learners to go to university? My response would be no. It also prepares learners for citizenship. They can, from qualifying through the qualification, go straight into the world of work. It depends on the level at which they pass. It depends on the level at which they pass. If they pass with low symbols, with low ratings, then they don't qualify for university, obviously. And the universities are also using the Senate discretion to decide for what courses they want to admit learners who have qualified through the National Senior Certificate. I read a very exciting article in February of this year of the head of education of one of the universities, I think it is either Wits or University of Johannesburg, who says the learners who have studied, the students who have studied as student teachers, as first year students, they are more engaging, they are more articulate, and they are working more in team. There's more teamwork. I got excited, and the commentator there, who is a professor, head of that department, was saying, this is all because of outcome-based education. We are beginning to yield some results in some fields. In some fields. We will not reach the ideal overnight. My sense, Che, is that when it comes to education, we are dealing with a vicious cycle. The vicious cycle. Primary school teachers will blame the parents, that the parents did not adequately prepare children for school, you know? Or even blame the pre-primary school teachers to say, no, the preschool did not prepare adequately. The second, that the school teachers will blame the primary school ones to to say, no, the primary school did nothing. We are the ones who are doing well. Universities are blaming secondary schools to say, these kids are not well prepared for university. So it's a vicious cycle. People are looking on which side is your boat leaking. And I'm pointing a finger at my colleague here, if I say, no, the boat is leaking on your side. And he's pointing a finger at me to say, the boat is leaking on my side. In the meantime, the boat is sinking. We as South Africans are not supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be helping each other to close the gap and build a credible national senior certificate, because my own submission is that the national senior certificate is a national asset that has to be protected, that has to be built, that has to be strengthened. That is my submission, Chair, and I want to pause. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for that. Are there any follow-ups? Yes, Honourable Shwana. And then you, Chana, and then Honourable Smile.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. This follow-up is on, it's not necessarily on relationship. It's a follow-up on the questions that were asked. Your RPS, do you think of the dyslexia cases? Because there are people who cannot read or write, and they will never go to any school, they never pass. But they grow up, they need to work. They need to be prepared for the world of work. Is there a plan in this country to skill those people? Because you don't have to be able to read and write to be skilled to go and work up. Thank you.
I was thinking about
I must say again that the way you have got the responses made the whole thing now interesting. It's part of my weakness in understanding the figures, but I think it's interesting. My only concern, you know, my teacher used to say to us, you know, you cannot fatten a pig on a day of sales. You are saying your mandate is to quality assure at the exit. Now, which means you have got nothing to do with anything before exit. Is that what I'm understanding? That will quality assure at grade 12. So what comes to you, whether it's garbage in and garbage out, you're only concerned with the exit. Is that what I'm understanding?
Smile.
Thank you, Chair. I have two questions. One on the baseline of the grant. Chairperson, a very short question. Did Amalusi provide the department with your model or your researched what you want to say, this is the baseline, please approve it, that you give them some advice? Then secondly, on the issue of reputation risk, I think we're all in agreement that the number of marking centers and the quality of the markers is a big issue. And that creates problems for you with regard to your reputation. Now, where in the budget can you indicate to us that you have provided to, you know, to take care of that kind of risk? And what is the amount that you will spend there? Thank you.
Thanks for that. And then when it comes to the scarcity of moderators, when will you have this plan in place? You know, this plan being in place to deal with the scarcity of moderators. Thank you. Anyone from Umalusi? Starting. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and members. I'll respond with regards to the baseline of the grant question. Yes, we have been providing the department and the ministry with what is required outside of the baseline, which was kind of a guarantee or secured funding that we would receive year on year. And we would, in the month of September, indicate to the ministry what we would require in addition to that. and engage with the department on the basis of to what extent could we have our baseline increase. So that has been done, and we have all the documentation to prove that, Chair.
In terms of the special needs candidates, I think that it's probably more a question you need to ask the Department of Education, because of course they do take care of the kids' special needs strand of learning in schools, and there are programs for those. But in terms of skills development of dyslexic people, for instance, that would probably land more in the area of skills development as in working, you know, in a physical skill as opposed to writing an exam. And that would not be something that would fall under Malusi. That would typically fall in the occupational area, which would be a CCPO issue. And they are very big on RPL. So they will be pushing that agenda substantially. I mean, I can only answer to you in general, really, at this stage, but maybe later I can give you a more specific answer. In terms of the quality assurance and our mandate around whether we quality assure only exit points, our mandate does specifically speak about exit points. It actually states that quite specifically, except to say that we are, of course, now setting standards for the qualifications that we quality assure. So that would imply a broader scope of work. And to that extent, we have been engaged in research around, for instance, the foundation phase recently, around the standards of the foundation phase curriculum. And our next research project will be looking at the intermediate phase and the standards of the intermediate phase. But that's on a research basis, and that would be giving feedback to the department on in terms of the curriculum. But we are also speaking to the department around our involvement in the annual assessments, the ANA. That hasn't really, you know, that hasn't come to fruition, except that it's on the cards, obviously. In this year, we will be speaking to them shortly, and we'll take that forward, and we're hoping to be involved in that, because quality assuring that then broadens our mandate in terms of, well, our space, really, in terms of standards throughout the schooling. In terms of the marking, yes, we've stepped up the sample, as I explained earlier, in terms of the marking. And the budget would fall under, you know, if you look in our strategic plans, it would fall under the section on quality assurance assessment, and there's a 1.5 million budget for that and the standardization. So we are stepping up our touch on the market, yeah. It's gone from the 10 gateway subjects to 25 of the 38 subjects. So that's in that area. And in the moderation training, the training plan. We've got it on our plans for this next year. But obviously, and we have started in a small way, but we do need to take it to scale and much bigger. Yeah. So in the next year or 18 months, there will be a stronger focus on training capacity and assessment.
Chair, maybe just to conclude, the strategy to correct the anomalies that occur in the marking center.
It's
captured in the strategic plan, verification of marking. Page 6, it says review system of verification of marking in terms of the 2010 intervention. Marking verified and reported on across qualifications. Representative sample of scripts for all selected sample subjects moderated as per the exam cycle. I need to indicate where we identified weaknesses in the 2010 report. Would expect the department to take remedial measures. Would not expect KZN to have certain marking centers again. Because that would be a repetition of what we have already highlighted as a problem, and many other problems that we highlighted in the report that we issued to the department. So we'll be monitoring the department to check what corrective steps they are taking on issues that we have highlighted as the quality assurance body, and we'll expect them to correct those.
Is there anything from the department, please?
Yes, ma'am. I just want to indicate something on the budget. Umalusi, it's true they have submitted additional needs. And what we did from the department side, we submitted bids to Treasury for additional funding because we couldn't afford to give additional funding from our budget.
Now, these were rejected by Treasury, but after our meeting with Treasury and Umalusi, I'm positive that maybe something will come out of this. The unfortunate thing is the bid will only be submitted with the MTF during July, which means if it's approved, it will only come into effect in the 2013 financial year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think the issue relating to the quality assurance levy, that has been addressed between Umalusi and the department by also engaging Treasury in that process. EDCOM itself, with dealing with the issue, did not accept the proposal as a result of the issue relating to the top sliding. But the door has been opened to go back to Treasury to make a bid. And as the Ministry and the Department, we would want to take this process forward in terms of looking at a long-term solution that provides sustainability in terms of a funding model that Umalusi can go forward. So I think in 2012-13, we would find that come July, as well as when the budget, the MTBS is announced, we should address this issue once and for all in terms of what should be the correct baseline and what are the shortfalls in this regard. With the regard to the issue of the one interesting part is that if the grant does go up and it's standing at around 20%, 21%, 22%, and imagine if it's 75%, then what is the reputational risk that the state is funding an independent institution? And once again, that would be something would need to be addressed. I think the issue is to fund the Umalusi at the same time ensuring it in, its independence. With regard to the marking centers and the recommendation from the Umalusi, the department is already taking measures in that regard, that those provinces which have numbers at around 12 and 13, we're looking at having them to be reduced to a smaller number where they can be controlled and the security can be stronger. Further, with regard to marking, we're looking at in the selection of markers, that each of the markers have to go through a competency test before before being selected. As well as during the period of marking, which if you look at the 2010 examination, as the national department, they were monitoring at other levels in terms of the writing of the examination. But the period of marking, we did not actually have that kind of intensity. And in the 2011 examination, we will continue with the process of putting out people going out to monitor the marking as well for the period in which the marking will occur. In fact, all the recommendations of Umalusi have been studied and proposals are being made, which will be discussed next week with the EDCOM and then by the CEO.
Thank you for that. Mr. Banner,
thank you, Chair. Just a further comment on the question that you asked, namely the status of the report. The Minister has formally tabled the Umalusi report for the consideration by the parliamentary processes, and I just want to say that the Minister has tabled this and for discussion and consideration by the Portfolio Committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks a lot for that. Is for the 79 million. Yeah. That's 78.861.
Yeah. What is the amount?
Sorry?
What is the amount? Is it for 78.861?
What was tabled?
I don't
get it. Yeah, I think it is the report as tabled. It is the report as tabled, Chair.
Fine, we'll look at that, because I want to ask a few more questions on it, you know, the status, but now we're going to leave the status at the moment, because it's important for us to know what is the status, you know, before we go to Parliament, because we're debating this on the 13th of April. Then the other thing that I'd like to, what we as a committee should receive from Umalusi is that what was, you know, when it comes to the certification fees, that increased amount. I think it's needed, even if you sent it to us in writing, that we should know. Then the other, When it comes to the foundation phase, that report that you gave to the department, I think we should receive it too, because we're going to look at ECD in the next year. And then the debate on the unfunded mandates, I think that we should take further as a committee. Is there anything else from the committee side? Yes, Honourable Gina. And let us first use Honourable Mishwana, will you just speak, and then Honourable Gina, and then I'll round off.
Thanks for the opportunity. I just want to check the time frame for, because I understand you need to move from the certification to the qualification as well. And you are moving to the levy. But I didn't hear any time frame. Can we get some indication as to when you plan to do that exactly? The process. I understand that the process. When is it taking off? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is to request for the report that the CEO has just talked of the provinces that are sort of in the ICU when it comes to the running of the exam, if ever we can get that report, because it will assist us in our work and our oversight rate and to the report that we already have. Thank you.
Amalusi?
Thank you, honourable members and chairperson. The issue around the time frames of the QA levy. We started the process of engaging around the QA levy in 2009, and there was, of course, from our side, an expectation that it could have been implemented now already. But seeing that we find ourselves. And my colleagues from the Department of Education have indicated the year 2012-2013. It would seem as if a move towards that, we start focusing on that as a kind of target or implementation date and see what the ramifications of that will be. Thank you.
Chair, we'll send the report about the state of examination. Mm-hmm. What is happening in that report is that it does not only deal with the assessment bodies, the provinces, and the centers. It deals with the whole cycle of quality assurance of assessment, from the moderation of question papers, monitoring of the school-based assessment, monitoring of the writing of the examinations, marking, and up to standardization. It deals with the whole lot. Will send that report. And it also highlights the corrective measures that have to be taken and the areas of weaknesses. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. I'm going to close this discussion now. I think what I forgot to say at the beginning of the meeting, I forgot to thank Amalusi for that clean audit you received. I think that is important, because it just shows you know that you are working according to the 3 E's when it comes to the PSMA. So we have to thank you for that. Then the other problem was, we are supposed, I got a challenge. We as a committee were supposed to adopt the report you are giving to us. Because look at the financial report. We meet in the department next week. But there's still one portion, that 78 million, that we don't know. Because look here, Ms. Van der Heerde said it is with us. So we have to check whether it is like that. And then only, you know, by next week, we'll approve what you are telling us. So we accept, you know, your presentation, I'm sure, was acceptable. Then the other matter is, because look here, we're doing this budget review. That when it comes to Amalusi, you know your budget for 2012-2013, I think you should give it to us too as a committee. And I'm not sure when are we supposed to receive it. Because we need to have it if we're going to, you know, because we can amend the money bar. We can amend it. But I'm not sure at the moment whether we're going to do it or not. But we'd like to have the 2012-2013, but we'll tell you when in the year. And then I'd like to thank the department, you know, for being here today, and also to in answering questions. And then the people from Amalusi. Where is my agenda? It's my agenda. Just give me a second. Oh, we have here. What I'm going to tell you, I'm going to mention your people by name. It's Mr. Rakowitsi, Dr. Rabi, it's Miss Eugenie, and then Mr. Thomas for being present today. Thank you. If there's a need to call you in, we'll call you in again then. Thank you. I think people can just take a break for 5 minutes. Then we just want to look at the ministry.
Just a break.
So why do you call the council for general and further the strategic business plan? Now look at the back of the strategic business plan. Then you have the forecast for 2011-2012. And you see there at the bottom what was tabled, 28.861 billion 400. You see it?
Million.
Hey, I'll just give someone to see a lot of money.
Don't add 3 zeros.
They can give you 1 billion.
No.
So you can see the amount has been approved because of the table. You see? We're just waiting for an extra person that we can just pass this bulk quickly. You see it? Have you got it? I think we have to adopt. Are we adopting Amalusi's report? Everyone, are we adopting? And look at Dr. James too.
Yeah, this is a question of clarification.
Yeah.
What does it mean to adopt?
Look here, we're going to, I think what we have to do now, we have to approve every report we're going through because we're busy with a B, R, you know, B, triple R, the review.
Yeah.
So I'm asking, perhaps I shouldn't use the word adoption, just approve the reports we're receiving.
Okay, but we're not approving the budget.
No, it's only the report we receive.
Okay, thanks.
That's correct, ne? It's only the report we're receiving. Yes?
In which case it's fine.
Alright.
Okay, I wanted to move for adoption.
A second? Fine. Thank you. So everyone is satisfied. If there's any problem with any political party, I would like to hear what is it by next week when it comes to the budget itself. Understood? Now I'd like to hear.
This is for the overall budget?
Yes. As we go along, because we're going to approve, And then if there's something that you really feel you wouldn't like to approve, then you say why, because look at the committee. Can amend the budget. We can amend it. Yes, Honorable?
Just for my own sake of clarification. You're saying that as we move along, if we have any recommendations or proposals to make with regards to the budget, we can send it directly to you, to Llewellyn.
Yes, okay. To Llewellyn.
Yeah.
That you can look at the committee. Let us look at it as a committee. So I think that's all being said. Because we can't just want to push everything, you know, under the mat. Let us be open and honest. When we stand there in front of the people, but inside here, let us at least agree to do something. Thank you. There's a minute from that. We have a minute that is supposed to be. Everyone got a minute?
Yes.
Thank you.
So I'll thank the people that way.
Thank you, Chair.
The kingdom side.
Hello there. That may have some fruit in the